The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus prayed for his disciples. I have made known your name to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name, than the name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Right around this time, summer, as it dawns and comes, children, kids all over, everywhere are getting ready for the summer vacation. I can remember that as a child, summer meant VBS. Vacation Bible School. How many of you went to Vacation Bible School? Okay, here we go. I remember Vacation Bible School. And I remember because me and my other siblings, there were six of us, we would go from church to church because we were bored out of our minds over the summer. And the best thing about summer was Vacation Bible School. So we would go down to First Baptist, and they always had a wonderful, just an amazing It was a glorious celebration. It was fun. Then went down to the Methodist Church, and it was fun as well. And we got plenty of casseroles for lunch. Then we go down to the Episcopal Church there in National City, and again, a fun time of learning and being with friends in the neighborhood. And what I can recall the most was the passion and love of the folks leading VBS. One thing I remember about VBS too, I don't know if you recall this, I do remember that in the Baptist church, they did Bible drills. Sometimes they're called Bible swords, right? I didn't like that image of the sword, but they did Bible drills, right? And so the leader would get up and say maybe the first three lines of the passage, and you'd raise your hand and you'd finish the rest of the scripture. And that's how you did it, over and over and over again. I was lucky that my mom made sure we read scripture at home. And so me and my sisters, it was a competition between the Chavez clan, no one else. We were the scripture literate folks in the middle of the room because we read it, and we would not say it in the NIV, but in the King James Version of the Bible, because we grew up with the King James Version. My mom always insisted that before we went to sleep, we read scripture and it was the Psalms. Psalms, why? Because my mom let us know that the Psalms are about praying, and prayer, and about getting close to God, and recognizing that God is close to us. And we read and pray the Psalms because God wants us to learn the language of prayer. And so we spent quite a bit of time with the Psalms. My favorite was Psalm 91 and the first Psalm. Because I remember the way that my mother explained it to me. She said, pay attention. Did you see that? It says, in the King James Version, it's blessed. Here it's happy, which captures that sense. Happy are they who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor linger in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. And I remember my mom telling us, did you see that? Walk, stand, and sit. And of course, you know, Scripture had a very sort of on-the-ground power for us. And that was my mom trying to tell us, don't go hang out because you'll be hanging out and walking with those guys in the neighborhood who are doing nothing. And before you know it, you're standing with them. And before you know it, you're sitting down. So there was this real life application for my mom saying, listen, hold on to what you are learning about God. Remember that God loves you. Remember that God loves us and that God loves everyone. But always be aware of where you walk and sit and what you listen to. The spiritual life is as simple as that. And I think the psalm is a preparation. In fact, the first psalm is not even a prayer. The first psalm is giving you an image, a painting for you, an image of what it means to embark on this road to spiritual growth. And it begins with awareness. An awareness of the counsel that we give our hearts to. An awareness of what we listen to. An awareness of what shapes and forms the way that we live life. The word counsel there is exactly that. It is the advice, the knowledge, the learning, the very ideas that shape and structure the way that we view the world, the way that we interact with one another, the way that we're basically, in sociological terms, are socialized. The psalmist says, be aware of what it is that shapes the way that you move and have your being in the world. Because this can impact you. You know, I've made decisions. I've sat in the seat of the scornful. The scornful here in this passage are just, you could say, folks who take no regard for the image of God or the work of God in the world. They're basically made themselves the center of reality. I don't know if you've ever been known someone like that or been married to someone like that. I don't know. There's this sense in which being in that space shapes and begins to form our hearts and minds. And so the Hebrew scriptures in this particular psalm are reminding us that we are the custodians of our hearts, to watch and to care for where our hearts go and to be aware of that internal compass within us. The spiritual life, life in Jesus, the life that Jesus mentions in his prayer. Did you catch that? Jesus is praying. Prayed for his disciples. He prayed for his disciples because the kingdom belongs to them, and this is what eternal life looks like. It looks like this. And even our second lesson reminds us that we have eternal life. And eternal life is a road. It's lived now. And the psalmist is reminding us, be aware of where you are, where your heart is, where you walk, where you sit. Because it matters profoundly. Because the wisdom literature of the Old Testament reminds us that there is the way of the righteous and then there is the way of the wicked. And the way of the righteous begins with an awareness of what goes on inside of us, of taking stock, of learning to cease those patterns that keep bringing us back to that one place that we wish we could get out of. To take stock and be aware of what is going on inside of us, because it has a profound impact on what takes place outside of us. We sit, we walk, we linger. And so the psalmist wants to direct us, therefore, to the reigning metaphor in this psalm, the tree. The tree. I love trees. I love going to the Japanese Friendship Garden just to sit and look at trees. My sons, I spend time with trees. Me and trees are friends. We're friends. That's why, I think at one point, I think in Vermont or the Pacific Northwest where there are tons of trees, or up north, I love trees. And the psalmist gives us an image of the spiritual life by focusing us on something that we see all around us. It's just like Jesus. Look at the birds of the air, a mustard seed. Jesus always brings us back to those images, those metaphors, that at most of the time grow and flourish because they're connected to the source of nourishment. But the righteous are like a tree planted by streams of water. In the Hebrew, the word is really transplanted, moved into this space where part of your reality is this ongoing stream of God's goodness and grace and strength. And your roots shoot down into the ground to be nourished. So what nourishes us? Is it the counsel of the ungodly? Is it the seed of the scornful, the attitude of the scornful? Or is it our prayer? You know, praying is not like hard science. Praying is opening our hearts. If you read the Psalms, you'll discover that praying is expressing our hearts before God and discovering, just like Jesus did in his prayer for his disciples, that there is a God who listens and a God that responds, a God that attends, a God that ensures that his will and way be done in our lives. I mean, in the middle of our liturgy, our Eucharistic prayer, what prayer do we pray, everyone? We sing it, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not meant simply for Sunday and liturgy. It is meant for every day. You could be saying the Lord's Prayer while in traffic. This may help you. I know I'm going to be saying the Lord's Prayer here in a week because I have to go renew my registration, and I'm in Goodyear, and the lines are long. And I will be saying the Lord's Prayer. We can say the Lord's Prayer everywhere. And there is that one, the several lines. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That is rooted in this long tradition. Goes back to this image of the psalmist. Of the one who has decided that this is life. Life in God, life in prayer, life in worship of God, life in the reading of the scriptures. In that life, the psalmist has found the true life of being rooted down to the source of life, the stream of living water, which is Christ. We've spent quite a bit of time talking about love, and I'm sure many of you who comment on the way out, you know, you are in me, I am in you, and they are in me, and this love, and this love, and this love, and it seems like, as someone mentioned, you know, you can't go wrong. Someone walked out the other last Sunday, you can't go wrong preaching love, and I'm like, yes, but I'm tired of it. It's about living this way of love. And the psalmist reminds us that the only way we can live this way of love is to send our roots deep into God's goodness, God's word, and to practice the practices that nourish our thirsty and hungry souls. The way of the righteous, our way as the people of God, is a way of being rooted and fed by a source that we can't control, but who loves us and ensures that when we place our hearts and ground ourselves in the promises, the goodness, and the grace, the table of the Lord, when we ground ourselves in those realities, we discover a flourishing, as the psalmist says, the leaves never fade, and in due season, the fruit shows up. Many of you are living with the fruit of your faithfulness right now. That's the strength that God gives you to work through some of the most difficult situations you've been facing over the course of years, maybe months. You want to know where that strength comes from? It comes from sending your roots down and looking for that stream of living waters that will hold you in the darkest hours, in those moments of greatest questions, in the fear of what lies ahead. It is the certainty to be grounded in the source of our strength, in God. Many of you know this, because on your own, this is a hard one, whatever situation you're facing. And it is only by God's grace, that fount of every blessing that continues to strengthen and feed us, that you are able to continue to hold fast in the midst of storm. To rejoice when you see the fruit of your labor, of words of love that have nurtured generation and generation in your own family, of communities that you've impacted that have flourished just by your presence of kindness. The fruit sometimes shows up in the capacity that has finally grown within us to ask forgiveness. To give forgiveness. To open your heart and to give freely to God. This fruit grows in its season. Your leaves never wither, and in due season, those who are hungry around you discover the fruit that can slake their hunger, because it is what God is giving to them through you. As we step not away from the Easter season or Eastertide, but as we move into Pentecost Sunday, which is next Sunday, and then we enter into the season of Pentecost, it's the color green, which is supposed to sort of remind us, and I think this is the psalmist reminding us, that it is a time to recognize that flourishing, to growing, to actually bearing fruit is what it means to be part of this kingdom of a God who says, I'll give you what you need. I'll walk with you. I will nurture you. Stay connected. Stay connected. Stay connected. Because in doing so, you live the blessed life. And as the psalmist ends, God knows the way of the righteous. The way of the wicked is doomed. The way of the righteous is life. It's always good to get back to basics like this, because that's what VBS was for me, was basics. But it let me know that in a city that was crowded with warring gangs, in a context that I grew up in with poverty and individuals on the margins, it kept me centered on the promises of God and recognizing that the goodness that flowed out of me had to do with all of those people who were praying for us, serving us, being faithful to God, to God's mission in the world. And I think that's what we do every time we gather together, whether here or at home. We discover the goodness of God. That source that feeds us and strengthens us. I discovered this one time, and maybe I shared this here. Father Doug, you know this. Sometimes you preach so many times, sometimes you forget where you dropped an illustration, right? I loved going everywhere with my mom, so I was a tag. I used to tag along. And so we used public transportation. So we would take a bus, and on occasion my mom would go downtown to a few stores there in downtown San Diego. Loved tagging along with mom. And so the two of us would get dressed. I would get dressed. You know, my dad was a military man, so he insisted that I tuck my shirt in at all times. You never wear your shirt untucked. And you had to have a belt. So I always, you know, presentable. Got on the bus 25, to go downtown from National City. It was a long trip. One of the stops, this gentleman got on the bus, stumbled into the bus. It was clear he was struggling. And had a dollar bill. Back then, the bus was maybe about 35 cents. And the bus driver told him, you got till the next stop to get change. If you don't get change, you need to get off. So he stumbled through the bus. He was probably had a night of partying. He stumbled through the bus, and he was asking for money. He walked by me, and I was just looking at him. And he said words I will never forget. He said to me, and he stopped in front of my mom, and me, and he said, what are you looking at, you dirty little Mexican? What are you looking at? You dirty little Mexican. And I remember being shocked. I remember thinking, you know, I'm like 9 or 10. I thought, oh my gosh, did I clean myself? Is my hair disheveled? Am I dirty? Because words can destroy, and indeed do destroy. And I remember sitting there and just confused. And he kept walking, walked to the back. We got to the next stop, and the bus driver said, you need to get off the bus. So on his way out the front of the bus, my mom pulls out her coin purse, unsnaps it, pulls out 4 quarters, and gives the man change. Of course, everyone is scandalized, because everyone saw or heard what he said to me. And I remember looking at my mom, and I thought, wow, so this is what Wonder Woman looks like. All right. She put her hand on my knee and she said, he needs to get home. He needs to get home. And then she said, remember what Jesus has taught us about helping others. And it felt like that water had just washed over me. It felt like a moment of cleansing. And then my mom put her warm hand on my knee and said, it's going to be okay. Psalm 1 reminds us, too, that Mother Church is with us. That Mother Church reminds us of who we are, and that the water of God's goodness that nourishes us, that water will give us the strength for those moments when it seems like life has just turned dark, society is going crazy, our bodies are not functioning the way that we want them to function. In those instances, it is the goodness of God that reminds us, I am with you. You are not alone. Mother Church places her hand on our knees and says, you're going to be okay. God's love is our strength. And so as we enter the season of Pentecost, let's keep in mind that the green that we will see is a call to grow in Christ, to send roots down, to look for the source of our strength and to be nurtured and nourished by the one who prays for us and reminds us that we are beloved. Amen.